Okay, Sophie, you can leave now.
She's wide awake today.
Well, she knows we're talking to a fellow lab owner today.
Oh, that's
Briggs.
Right, we are.
That's right. We need to get Briggs and Sophie together inside Brandon's house.
Oh, that would be something.
And start throwing the blue ball.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, man. Well, welcome into Woods and Water, South Carolina. I'm your host, Roger Metz. I'm joined by
co-host, you know, leader
sidekick,
of this whole thing.
No, leader of this whole thing. And Taylor. We're going to skip and get right to it because we got a good one.
We do.
We hooked a good one today. He answered the phone when he shouldn't have. And you got that? You get that?
Good job, Dad.
Yeah, right. got the South Carolina Greenwood's own Elite Series Pro, Brandon Cobb. Brandon, welcome back. I mean, I actually keep up with a list of everybody that's on the show, and dude, you're racking up some points.
I think I've been on quite a few times.
It's funny. I just looked. It's been 7 years since I started this thing.
Man, I think I was on, I think 15 was my first year.
First year, that's right.
On that, because that was the first cup I fished.
That's
and I
right.
remember we did a show when I was pulled over in a parking lot in Memphis, Tennessee.
Yep. That's it. That's it. And it's been we've had a lot of fun.
It's 6 years since he's been on. 6 years.
The first time.
Yeah, this is the first time.
And you think he quit answering the phone by now?
I mean, I wasn't going to say it.
I'll say it. I mean, it's okay with me. But, it's been fun. It's been and watching you, man, all through all those FLW years and now on the Elite Series, it's been a good ride for you.
It's been good. It has. It's really – these last few years have been especially good. It's been – I'm really enjoying the Elite Series. It's a good change, I guess, after – not that I've been doing it that long, but 5 years at the tour is kind of just start to a career, and I feel like the Elite Series has no telling where it could go.
No, and it's going nowhere but up, and we all knew that was what was going to happen. You're just I've never seen somebody so unflappable. I mean, you just don't – I mean, even when you just don't get excited, at least outwardly. I mean, I don't know what's going on inside you. But outwardly, I mean, you're just the same Brandon Cobb that's just out there to fish and have a good time.
I try to be.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not always a good time, even if I don't act like it.
Okay.
You never know.
Well, you hide it well.
That's right.
Wow. So we're starting off a new season. Do you have any new sponsors this season, or are you still sticking with the same old?
I've pretty much been with all the same companies since the start. I've kind of used their products for a long time, but I've kind of built a little partnership with Dometic, which a lot of people don't know what Dometic is. It's actually SeaStar. They own SeaStar, which like boat parts. Everybody uses it. They just don't really think about it.
See, everybody thinks of SeaStar hydraulic steering.
Hydraulic steering, yep. And they actually have jack plates, you know, your typical gas pedal. They have everything. And I've been using it for years. It's just and saltwater. It's always been huge in saltwater.
Yes.
If anybody's ever gone saltwater fishing, probably has used 100% SeaStar products, whether they realize it or not. Yep. But kind of making more products for bass boats and things like that now.
And I see you were just down at Falcon outfitting your boat and getting it rigged up.
I went to got my boat a couple weeks ago. I wanted to change a few things on it, so I went back down yesterday and we worked on some stuff. I was down in Florida last week doing a little filming with Arc Rods and Wired to Fish. So.
And how did that go? Did you? I know you.
Fishing was lackluster, but it was a fun time.
Yeah,
but we'll just kind of leave it at that.
Okay.
It was fun filming. I don't know about the catching part.
Because I know you tell you when I talk to you, you're like, there ain't no fish in Okeechobee.
No, the Okeechobee's gotten pretty. I think it was actually, it's still decent at times. I think we were just, from what I've learned about Florida fishing, the weather's so, I guess it's like kind of the same all winter down there. Like it'll be cold a couple of days and hot a couple of days. And it's kind of the same all winter and it just kind of goes in waves of fishing. Okay. Like it could be hot and they're still not biting, basically. And because like 2 weeks ago, they had supposedly been biting real great and it was just kind of a a slow time when we were there. So
you got the should have been here last week treatment, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We did. And there's some new waters down there that we wanted to go to, but they're down like 10 to 15 mile gravel roads. And I'd never put my boat in the water before until I went down there. So I didn't really want to tow it down the gravel road.
I know which road you were going down.
Well, the one you're thinking of is probably Kenansville.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kenansville, I don't think is what it is. There's actually a new place in the Stick Marsh called Headwaters that they just opened this year.
Oh, really?
And they've been managing it for like 5 years.
Wow.
And it's supposed to be unreal, but we never made it there. So we just kind of did our filming thing on Okeechobee, caught a few.
Okay.
Got done. Got some good content anyway, though.
Okay, cool. Well, it's you going to pick up here or are you just going to?
Well, all my stuff has got to be detailed, so I'm going to wait till the next segment.
Oh, detailed. Ooh. Sounds impressive.
I feel like I'm getting interrogated.
Yeah, really?
When am I not impressive, Dad?
It sounded ominous.
It did. It really did.
Hey, but, y'all, it wasn't meant to be like that. Hey.
Well, I've got a good one for you. The move from March to June for the Classic.
Yeah, so I'm actually – I mean, to me, I don't know that it really – Ray Roberts, I don't know how it fishes in the summer. I have been there before.
I was there when you were there. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
2015.
I've been there before. 15, that's right. Mm-hmm. But it's – I think the fishing will still be good. Obviously, it'll probably be better in March. But okay. I think it'll still be good in the summer. What I hate – summertime, like, elite series, like, pro-level tournament fishing, what I hate about it normally is the fish get – a lot of lakes, the fish get in big groups, and there's 10 places on the entire lake where you could potentially win,
okay.
And everybody knows about them. With the way electronics are now, everybody knows where they all are. It's just who gets on the place.
Yep.
Well,
yep.
And I don't think Ray Roberts is going to be that, just knowing the way it lays out. I think it's going to be more of, it might be deep fishing, but it's going to be like two or three fish here, four or five here. Okay. I don't think it's going to be like annoying, that type of fishing. And Pickwick, on the other hand, which got swapped to March because it was in June.
Right.
Pickwick is that type of fishing that's annoying and I don't like, really. So with Pickwick getting moved to March, probably won't have to deal with that grouped up type fishing now.
Okay.
So I think it'll actually, the Classic, yeah, the fishing might be a little worse, but I really like Pickwick coming to March rather than being in June. So I like the move.
Well, that's a good one. What are your thoughts on Lake Ray Roberts is the summertime playground for Dallas and Fort Worth and all?
Just from being there in the past,
okay,
I don't see recreation being that big of a nightmare there. Maybe in half the lake, but the other half has so many trees.
Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's worse than Fork. It's worse than any lake I've really ever been to with trees.
Yeah.
So I don't see the traffic being that bad. The only thing that I think could be kind of a negative for the Classic, which – I'm not saying it's a negative for the anglers, but as far as like the fan perspective,
okay,
kind of a rough lake to, you know, you get those boats falling the leaders around and stuff. I just don't see that really happening much at Ray Roberts because it is so hard to get around.
Yeah, you're right about that. That once you get past those big posts or whatever,
mm-hmm,
it's just pretty scary.
Trees. Exactly. And from the angler's perspective, I mean, I love having fans follow me, but it can be make it tough to fish sometimes.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like a great spectator lake to me, but I think it'll be a good tournament, a lot of fish catches and things like that.
Cool. Yeah, I remember that. That was the last time in 2015 was the last time they actually took the best elites and the best FLW and put them together.
That's right. Yeah, I think I got to go. And I actually got in by default that year.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, they took 15 and 15, and I think I was 16. but they I think it was Wesley Strader actually at the time was fishing the Bassmaster Opens to qualify for the Elite Series, and the Open and that was on the same day, so he opted out of it.
Oh wow!
And I got in by default.
Cool. All right. Well, y'all hang on through the break. We're gonna get into Taylor's technical stuff. I hope Brandon doesn't hang up over the break. Scare him off. So y'all hang on, we'll be right back with more Woods and Water South Carolina.
Dang, Dad. You're picking one of my bumper music. I'm proud.
I'm trying to throw one in every once in a while.
I'm proud.
Keep you interested.
Who sings it?
Chris Stapleton.
How did you know that? You probably looked at it when you put it on.
Well, I plugged in the music before the show came on. How else do you think I know the music?
Uh-huh. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Dad, we need to educate you on country music. Just saying.
I'm good. Brandon, do you enjoy that kind of music?
I'm not a big music person. I think we talked about this before.
I think we did, yeah.
You don't listen to music?
I mean, like, I
don't
listen to it, but I couldn't tell you any words, any songs, any artists. Like, I just, I don't listen to a lot of music.
It's pretty bad when the guest remembers what questions you've asked him for the past years.
Let's just go like he knows you two.
Yes, yes. Okay, carry on.
Me carry on.
Yes, carry on.
So they made it sound like I was about to, I don't know, throw some hands on those questions or something like that. But they're actually really not that hard.
Okay.
So you came out with a new series of rods with Arc Rods, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, we've been – so they released about, I don't know, probably a month and a half ago now. But I've actually been using them for
2 years
probably. Mm-hmm. Year and a half to 2 years. And – kind of got them fine-tuned over the time. We had a bunch of prototypes I ran through and kind of got them to be my goal was, I think I have 14 models.
Okay.
My goal was to basically, if you wanted to only use my rods, you can do, there is a rod for basically any technique.
Right.
Between those 14 models. Aside from, I didn't make a deep cranking or a heavy punching rod because that's just not something I do a ton.
Okay.
And I didn't feel like my punching rod would be better than Randall Tharp's punching rod, so I just left that one for him. But I've got 14 models with about everything, and it, from a couple spinning models to others, and I've been fine-tuning them. Like there's just a lot of rods that, like, for example, I love to throw a buzzbait, you know that, and for years I've never
throw a
found
buzzbait.
Never. But
I have to interrupt here. I have to take
boy.
A second.
Oh, boy.
Because in one of the cups on
I know where you're talking
Ouachita,
about.
Oh, no.
You couldn't find me in the fog.
I couldn't find him in the fog, but he told me where he was. So we got as far back as we thought we could do, cut off the motor, and we're sitting there. I hear this. I said, he's right over there in the fog. That's the wing on the buzzbait. I know that sound anywhere. Okay, carry on.
I remember that.
Carry on.
But, like, for instance, like a buzzbait rod. I've used Art rods for the past few years, and, like, I could throw a buzzbait on a lot of them. Obviously, I have for, like, 3-4 years. But, like, I tailored some rods. Like, I've got a specific – it's called the buzz burner. It's, like, exactly for – a buzzbait. Like, okay. Just some of my go-to techniques. I want rods. Like, around here in South Carolina, we all love to throw, like, big walking baits, like heavy ones, you know. And there's just no rods on the market, really. They're designed for, like, a big topwater. Like, a rod that you can throw a, you know, 3/4 to 1 ounce topwater, yet still work it and it doesn't wear you out by the end of the day. So I designed, like, one called the walking stick for techniques like that. So that's basically what I did, is just tried to make some specific rods for my style of fishing.
And I looked back at some of the names of these rods. Heartwool Magic,
yep.
And Fairy One. That's just creativity.
Fairy One, that's what people call me when I have to start fly fishing.
They call you a fairy
one?
Well,
like you're throwing a fairy
stick.
Oh,
I was like,
fairy one, yeah.
I'm proud of all the names. Me and my fishing partner from when I was like, I don't know, 13, 14 years old, we were on the phone for like 4 hours one day, just coming up with names of everything. And we did really good on 13 models.
Uh-oh.
But there was one rod, it's my 7.2 medium. We literally couldn't think of a name for it, so we named it One More.
One More.
Oh.
we sat there for hours, like we got nothing. So it's One More.
Well, 13 out of 14 ain't bad.
Yeah, I'm about to say.
Now, does he get royalties for helping you name the rods, or you just give him one every once in a while?
I guess he sort of did because he got a set of rods.
Oh, so, a set of rods.
So, yeah, he kind of did. But and the one thing, too, I wanted to make them – a lot of people, that they see, like, pro model rods, and you either got, like, a $300 rod is what the pros use. Like,
right.
like a signature model, you know, or yep. you've got one where they might not be using exactly what their real rod is. Well, mine, I wanted to make their $99 retail, and that's what I wanted to do, make like a, you know, easy to purchase rod that I can still use, that is good enough to use in pro level tournaments, because I'm truly using my $99 rod.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you're using your rods.
Exactly. Yep. And that was the price point. We felt like we could still make a, you know, high end tournament level rod without getting too expensive.
I'm still impressed by those names.
I like them.
I do.
I mean,
I
got
do too.
Old Faithful,
Kitchen Sink,
Long Game. Yep.
Like my 7.5 is Flippy Floppy.
Flippy Floppy, yeah. I'm especially taken with the fairy wand, though. That's medium light, extra fast, 7.3.
Yeah. That rod, that's a pretty unique rod. A lot of companies don't make one. I made it. It's for basically for smallmouth fishing up north.
Okay.
Or throwing, you know, around here we throw a lot of small swim baits in the fall, especially.
Right.
Like you need like a little bitty swim bait on like an 1/8 ounce jig head to mm-hmm. school and fish and things. It works good for that too.
There you go.
Well, new season, new experiences, but this isn't going to be as new for you. Y'all going back to Lake Fork, April 22nd through the 25th. And you've had some good experiences in Lake Fork. I mean, 2019, for example, 114 pounds.
Yep.
I mean, how are you feeling about going back? I mean, it's about 2 weeks apart from where it was in 2019. How are you feeling about going about this? Are you going to fish it the same way? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously I love Lake Fork, because that was probably one of the best weeks of fishing I've ever had. But it's a little, just from past experience, it's always kind of nerve-wracking going to a lake where you've had a lot of success, because either it's easy to do one of two things that can steer you wrong. Number one, you either just fish all the same tight places and stuff where you caught them in the past, because it'll be, like you said, it's very close to the same time of year.
Right. Yeah.
And so you try to do the same thing, and maybe that's not going on, and then you get hung up doing that. Or it's easy to – everybody knows basically all the places I caught them and how I caught them, so I like to set myself apart. And you get there, and it's hard to fish the places where you know the entire field already knows you caught them. And it could be the thing happening again. I mean, it literally could be the same, you know, 12 places I fished could be the places to win the tournament again.
Wow.
But it's hard when you know everybody else already knows about them.
Right.
It's kind of a weird situation. So you got to be careful when you've had success like that. But it that time of year is kind of like that transition from like spawning to immediate post-spawn to even like could be already like kind of early summer type stuff. I know. Okay. It's early, but it's a little warmer down there. And like the last time we were there, it was like a really cold winter or late
right.
year.
Yes.
There was still a lot spawning. Like some of you saw the really big fish I caught, and a lot of them were actually still spawning. And that shouldn't have been happening still last time we were there. Okay. I know this one's like 2 weeks earlier. So it could be a heavier spawning tournament, or if we have a warm, you know, early spring, late winter, then it might be farther along. So it's kind of, it's hard to say exactly what will be going on there. I'm excited to go back, but it's kind of a nerve-wracking tournament just because of history there.
History.
History, you know, everybody always says, like, local, like at Hartwell, they say, like, local knowledge can be, it can make you win, or it can be, like, the kiss of death. I feel like knowing just enough like that is almost worse than local knowledge.
Oh, wow. So which makes sense.
You just have to be careful about how you approach it,
right.
And kind of use your history there rather than kind of rely on it or focus or like ignore it too much.
And you have a constant reminder of Lake Fork on your wall, do you not?
I do.
Yeah.
That was my, I've got that, the 11 pounder I caught, I got a replica made of it, or, well, I didn't, my wife did.
Yeah,
Amy
did.
Got me one for, yep. For Christmas last year, I think.
And that was the one, if I'm not mistaken, that you looked at on the bed and said, I think that's a 5 or 6 pounder. Is that the
it
same
is.
Fish?
It is.
And you were throwing like a spinning rod at it, weren't you not?
No, I threw it one time, and
okay.
then I realized
okay.
it was a bad idea.
Well, that's a 5 or 6. That one might be 8. I think it's a little bigger. It's 11 pounds, 1 ounce.
11-1.
That
yep,
was hilarious.
It was definitely the biggest one I've ever caught, so.
Yeah, that was.
I actually hope when we go back there, it would be cool for it to be like last year. I mean, it was 100, or the year before was 100 pounds. So obviously it was really good fishing.
Right.
But I think it could be, I'm not saying weight wise any better.
Yeah.
But the fishing could be even better if it was more a little bit earlier than we were there last time. Like throughout the field better, not just top end.
Right, you know? Right. Yeah. In other words, you wouldn't have you two, the two of you, what, Garrett Paquette, I think, had 101.
Yeah,
you got 114, and then it was what? I mean, it was a long way for the next couple
of
years.
It was like low 90s or 80-something even. So it could be – I think if the stars lined up when we were there that time of year, you could see, like, you know, the whole top 10 near 100 pounds or over.
Wow. That would be a fun tournament to
watch.
That
would be a very fun tournament.
And on Fox Sports this year, too.
That's right. Yep. I think they actually aired some of the 19 and 20 shows on Fox Sports recently as well, because I had a lot of people message me and said, hey, you're on TV.
Oh.
And I actually don't even have cable anymore, so I didn't know.
Cut the cord, did you?
I did.
Oh. Good. Well, we got about a minute left, maybe a little more than a minute. It is February. I think we're kind of into the 30s and 50s for a month or two. What, real quick, guys fishing in South Carolina right now, what do they want to be throwing and where they want to be when they throw it?
Probably in it, just as a whole for our state in general right now, there should be a really good like shallow bite coming between a crankbait and a jerkbait is what – that's the way you win tournaments usually in February is the fish are starting to stage up. There'll be a lot of big fish starting. They want to come up shallow.
Okay.
And especially because we've been getting and probably will continue to get a good bit of rain.
Okay.
We have some dirty water and that makes them come up even shallower. And so just crankbait and jerkbait on shallow rock, little points, things like that. I use a Yozuri 3DS.
Okay.
Crankbait. It's just like a crawfish color in a drink crankbait and jerkbait, just a natural shad color. And you pay attention because a lot of times it'll be tough fishing, but you'll find like one point with, you know, a bunch of fish on it. So it can, that one bite could be an area to sit all day and catch them. That's what's cool about February.
Very cool. Well, Brandon, as always, thanks for taking time to be with us, man. Look forward to watching you this season. Look forward to seeing you out on the water some. And hey, invitations to get on Taylor's boat with us anytime, still open.
I appreciate it. I need to get back to fishing. I last week was about the first I fished since November. So.
Wow. All right, man. Take care. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Thank you for having me on.
Yep.
Give me a bottle of anything and a glazed donut. To go. To go.
Go
what
ahead.
Is,
it's all it's written
is
all over your face.
What's wrong with you? What is this music? No, keep going down. Keep bringing it down. Whoa. There you go. Down. Come on. Go. No, you stop moving. Move it down. There we go. Ah, that's better.
I could tell you were going to get it. That music is there for a purpose. Nothing happens on the show without a purpose most of the time.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. Well,
do explain.
You heard the to go. I mean, if that says anything about a person, then that's Patrick.
Really?
To go. Mm. I got to go.
Mm-hmm.
Riding a boat with him. He got to go. He doesn't know how to sit down and fish for any more than like 15 or 20 seconds on a single spot before he's got to go. Oh, man. Well, welcome back to Woods and Water South Carolina. Hope you enjoyed what we had with Brandon last time. And we figured we'd just book in that with another guy on the Elite Series from South Carolina who's been to Lake Fork, crunched the century mark, so called up Patrick Walters, and he's on the show with us. Patrick, that music was for you, that specific, you know, you got to go, and Patrick's got to go, he's got to go, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Roger, thank you for having me. Taylor, good to be here with y'all this morning, and, you know, it's funny, the older I get, and I got a good buddy I travel with, Justin Hamner, on the Elite Series.
Okay.
And he always gives me a hard time because I'm like, you know, I'm not that impatient. I'm like, you know, we'll just fish this spot for a minute, take our time. And or like, we'll go into the grocery store or something. He's like, Patrick, why are you running? And then we say the same thing, too. It's like, I'm coming home. She's like, Patrick, slow down. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I'm really taking my time. She's like, what are you doing? And Justin says the same thing. He said, you are probably the most impatient person I've ever met. And I was like, well, I don't mean it that way. It's a, no, it's a good thing. Yeah. I said it helps you with fishing, but man, he's like, I thought I fished quicker. You pull up to a spot and just leave. And sometimes I do feel like I sit down and I'll fish the area and take my time, but it's like, oh man, we gotta go.
We gotta go.
We gotta go. So they're biting. I'm telling you, it's like that internal clock. They are. I picture somewhere down the lake. You know, it's just you gotta run through the fog. But there's 5-pounders with their mouths open, and I'm over here dragging a shaky, and I'm like, oh my god, why are we not over there? You know, we
gotta go.
Got to go.
Get
over there, and it's the same
they're
thing.
Not there. That's
sooner
right.
or later, if you keep pushing through the fog, you're gonna find them.
That's right. So, off season, what'd you do? Take a minute, tell us what you did in the off season this year.
Tell the truth, I did a little bit of hunting.
All right.
I didn't organize my tackle too much and built the past 2 weeks, and that's what I've been doing. But I actually got more of a gun obsession this year, where I was breaking down guns, I was changing scope mounts out, I did a lot more research on calibers and bullets and stuff. Like I was breaking it down for some reason. Ooh. Because. Usually we have such a great off season where it's 3 to 4 months. We got plenty of time for sponsors.
Didn't have that this year.
And we only had about a month. So a month and a half, it was such a crunch for, you know, the phone calls and sponsors that it was almost like a relief to find a different hobby, which, I mean, I've always had guns. I've always hunted, but I've never broke down like the calibers, a bullet, the grain size and stuff like that. And so it was just something you could do some research on to kind of free your mind, keep your mind busy.
Sure.
But at the same time, you're still doing work. So that was kind of one thing that I picked up in the off season, but really just been kind of piddling around, got the boat. It's actually getting wrapped right now.
Ah.
Organizing some tackle, do a little bit of fishing here and there. Went and actually did a day on the lake for Bassmaster. That'll be coming out next January.
Cool.
So been a little busy, but it hasn't been too bad. Can't complain at all.
Good.
Well, you mentioned sponsors. What are some of your main sponsors going into the season?
Well, really did not have any new add-ons to sponsors, really kind of keeping the same core group of sponsors. So everybody who was with me has stayed with me.
Good.
Rapala has really stepped it up. Dye was top-notch again. We still got Clarendon County. One of my biggest sponsors that we're adding on to the team, I only added really one, and it's Sonar Pros. I had them last year. We were kind of just affiliated.
Right.
But this year we've really jumped on board because I don't have a designated – electronic sponsorship anymore with just one company.
Right.
I'm actually going to be running all three brands of electronics. I'm running Humminbird, Lowrance, and a Garmin.
That's on the queue because you have that little video out there, and I was looking at it, and I was really confused. So you had to talk about that for a little bit. So
absolutely, and that was what Sonar Pros helped me with. Was they rigged the boat? They are my electronic sponsor, but they're a dealer. So
cool.
It's a different route in the industry. I think we're actually going to see some people start going that way. So just kind of taking a different step in a different direction.
Well, we got about 6 minutes, so I know we can cover this in 6 minutes. But since you mentioned the electronics and all, and you're running all three of them, you had a video out, and it was a really interesting video, and I sat there scratching my head going, boy, this is getting complicated because you got to remember how to run all three of these. But go ahead. Take us through the front end, at least the front end. If we have time, you can do the console. But the front end of your boat, and talk about the electronics and all.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I'm running three brands, but I'm running three brands at the bow and just two at the console.
Okay.
I'm running a Lowrance and a Humminbird at the console. And we'll start from the console.
Okay.
Just
all right.
To make it simple. And
sure.
The main reason I'm running a Humminbird is Lake Master mapping and side scan at the console. Because if the lake has a Lake Master's map, which is their mapping system, it's hands down the best in my opinion. And their side scan. I love their side scan. But what I do not like about the Humminbird is their down imaging. I don't think it's really as crisp.
Okay.
And I don't like their waypoint management as much, where it's hard to export waypoints. I don't like all their symbols. Some of them are great symbols. But for the Lowrance, I'm using it for, like, the actual navigation.
Okay.
Like, I like their GPS a lot better. I love their 2D sonar and their down imaging. I think their down imaging, like, you can tell the size of fish on their DI, where the Humminbird just kind of shows a blob. And their waypoints, I can export regions. I can do different waypoints, and it's a much faster unit. And then to the bow, numero uno, the Garmin Live Scope. that's on the top of the mount. I've got a good bit of reasons why that one's on the boat. That one doesn't need much explaining.
Okay.
I feel like you got to have some kind of forward-facing sonar. Then I have a Hummingbird at the bow as well, and it's for 360.
Okay.
I'm telling you, I use the Garmin for vertical structure bait, or like when I'm forward, I can see my bait. You're looking basically vertical in the water column.
Okay.
And I use the 360 for the structure on the bottom for contours. Like I can see where there's a log at. Like if you're looking at the live scope, you'll just see a blip and you won't know what it is off the bottom.
Okay.
And you can look at that 360 and be like, oh my God, that's a log. And it's going down. You can see the break in the contours where it drops off into deep water.
Right.
And you can't really tell that with live scope. So when you can partner the two of them, like, okay, there's the end of the log right there. And you pan over there. Oh man, yeah, there's a fish actually on it on live scope. So that's where those two help. And then I have the Lowrance up at the back at the bow as well, and it's for the waypoints from the back because it's got the faster system and the 2D sonar.
You know,
it sounds like a lot, and the biggest problem I know it's the biggest problem with learning all three of them is not necessarily learning how to use all their menus.
Okay,
it's their interference and frequency.
Really,
wow.
You have to have a certain amount of spacing between each transistor because they're not the same brand. And so they shoot different frequencies, or sometimes they have overlapping frequencies, which distorts the image. And so you have to find the right frequency and placement for each unit. And that's actually what takes more time than anything to dial those units in.
And that's what Sonar Pros helps do.
Absolutely. They take the questioning out of it.
And your mounts. Your mounts are really, I mean.
Did you see that Boat Logic, the one at the bow?
Yeah, I did. About that one. I did. It's like a tower.
Well, it's just, I looked at it, you know, if you look at the Lake Fork footage from last year, I mean, you saw how much I was bent over, you know, you're staring down,
looking,
your neck hurts after a couple of days.
Sure.
So I told him, you know, I wanted to bring the units up a little bit that way to relieve that, the neck pain, the eye relief, it's closer to your face. You could see the units much better. And we were always flush mounting our units into the boat, which I mean, you have to basically, you're looking at your feet,
right,
look at the unit,
right,
which back in the day all we did, we'd glance at it for 5 seconds at best, and then we'd fish for 2 hours and we'd glance back at it, where now we're spending so much time. And it's just like any kind of truck. Taylor knows it. Taylor does not like stock trucks. When she sees a jacked up one going by, she's like, man, that truck looks
pretty good. You really going here? Are you going there?
Roger, you know it too though. Everybody like the truck with a leveling kit or jacked up. It just makes it look fat. You don't want to squat it. You just want to jack it up a little bit.
Yep.
And so that's what we're doing with the units now. We're just jacking them up.
Oh, gosh. I can't believe he went there. And you just fell for it, didn't you?
He didn't argue it.
He went there.
Oh, man. That's interesting. I hadn't thought about the different frequencies and all, but that's something that's I know, Taylor. I got the clock here. We got about a minute left. We're good. We're good.
It's your money. Got it.
And it was funny. We were talking when we were texting back and forth, getting this thing set up. You said something about another. Maybe you might need another display. And I said, well, you could put one in front of the helm, facing forward, and you could just glance back at it every once in a while. But that's too much effort for you.
That would be too much turning around. I have to turn my neck around too much. It's all about being efficient.
There you go.
And like I said, I'm not that impatient, I promise.
No, of course not.
We're back to our prior conversation.
Right to our prior conversation there. All right, well, let's stop it there because I do want you to talk about more about electronics and Taylor wants to get into Lake Fork and all. So everybody, y'all hang on, listen to music over the break, and we'll be back with more Patrick Walters and Elite Series Bass Fishing. Y'all hang on.
Into my bumper music.
Ian got left out of the rotation this show.
Thanks, Dad.
That's what happens when you're not down here in show prep.
Oh.
When you're not down here for show prep.
Don't even. You try going to two different co-ops and a college.
You don't even want to go there with me.
I just did.
No. It's useless. You'll lose every time. Right, Patrick? She has no clue what it's like when you get out of school, does she?
It's not too bad. I don't know. But that is, I can see both sides. Out of school now, it's like you definitely have different priorities. But in school, you have so much going on. You're staying busy. I feel like it's easier to stay on top of things. But you do have a lot going on. So that's a good argument. I feel like we could debate that one out.
We could debate that one out. Yeah.
It might be 50-50. It might be a good split. How about that?
No, you can't. No, I'm only going to give you 150.
You're right. No, where is a winner? We got to figure it out. I like Rogers. He's sticking hard on his side. He's dug his feet.
That's
in
right.
His hand. We're going to debate it.
We spent so much time talking about boys off the air, and I gave you the 50-50 there where you could support me and support Taylor, but I'm not going to give you 50-50 down the road. there will be some things where you're going to have to come over to my side on this stuff.
No.
Yeah.
No.
We're not going to go into boys, though. You took a pounding off the air.
Yeah, I did. Thank you so much for that. Both of you.
Andy gave you a pounding on the air. We're at least going to spare you the pounding off the air here.
Mm-hmm. Brandon didn't give me any trouble. Brandon didn't give me any trouble.
That's because Brandon doesn't know you have a boyfriend.
Well, I don't see him giving me any trouble.
I should have told him.
No, you shouldn't have.
He would. Next time he'll know.
No.
Of course, Brandon been like,
it'll be a new one next time.
And it was just like,
yep. On to more part of that. All right. Go ahead, Taylor. Carry on.
So, new season, we talked about your sponsors, but you're going back to a place where you had a really big accomplishment, 104 pounds, largest margin of victory in Bassmaster history on Lake Fork last November. And you're going back this season.
I feel pretty good about going back to Lake Fork. I really do love that lake. But just because of how it sets up, it almost feels like home when you go to Lake Fork because it sets up so much like Santee Cooper. And Roger knows when we come to Santee, we're fishing shallow, fishing cypress trees, we're fishing stumps, and that's really what Lake Fork is. It's going to be completely different than the November tournament where we had such great success fishing offshore, fishing for suspended fish, and which I'm kind of glad because I feel like that tournament kind of opened up Pandora's box with technology and suspended fish that those fish, since we have left there, the last cast that I made in that tournament when I broke the century mark and I was running back in, there was probably 20 boats right there. And as soon as I left, a couple of them followed, but the rest of them started fishing instantly.
Really?
And I had people telling me that, like, as they went back to different boat landings, there was people fishing all the spots I was fishing, which you know that's going to happen. That's just what happens in the Elite Series tournament when somebody's catching fish after the tournament. And it's public water. And that's what the sport's about is, you know, opening up and turning the page on a different chapter of bass fishing. And so I feel like that kind of happened. So I'm kind of glad it is at a different time of year. That way I'm not going in with history of like, oh gosh, you know, I know those fish are there. Let me go fish for them. And those fish are probably long gone. That it's going to be shallow. They're going to probably be spawning. Might be some post spawn, which, like back to Santee Cooper, that's how I love to fish. And that's why I'm excited to be going at a different time because I think we're just going to be migrating in, fishing shallow. And who doesn't love fishing shallow?
And that's kind of what Brandon said. He said you could have numerous guys catching that many fish, more fish, you know, because it's going to be just a little bit earlier. I don't think Texas has had quite as cold a winter this time around. And he said you could have a lot of guys catching a lot of fish in a lot of heavy bags.
100%.
If it comes through. And in his, you know, his victory was 2 weeks separated from when y'all going to be here. So he's got a little bit more, but he pretty much said the same thing. He said, I'm going to try to stay away from fishing history.
Good. And that's the biggest thing is I feel like the weights as a whole for the entire field will be much higher and it'll be way more consistent where I think anybody can go down the bank and everybody's going to catch fish.
That's
where
great,
in the fall, it was such a tough tournament where the fish were suspended. And honestly, catching suspended fish is probably the most hardest fish to find and to catch in general.
Right.
And I don't know why that is, but they just get so isolated in areas where the fall is just tough. It's so hit or miss. But in the springtime, it makes you wonder, where do these fish come from? You know, because for the rest of the year, you can't find them. You can't catch them.
Yeah.
And so, and then I'll, and Santee's Cooper's a great example of that.
Because yes.
When they come up to spawn, you're like, oh my God, I've never seen this many
fish. That's right, yeah.
But then, like, you go out there right now and you're going to get five bites a day and you're going to be pretty happy with it. So. Yeah.
And you're going to think there's no fish in the lake.
I've thought that many a times.
Well, you kind of went into that a little bit with the suspended fish and the electronics and all, and there's been a ton of articles written about your win and how, you know, the use of electronics has changed and going forward it's going to be different. And at the same time, now, just like you said, everybody was fishing right where you left off. And so the fish will adjust. I mean, you came upon something that was new. Fish had never seen it before. Now the fish are going to have seen it. So take a little bit of time, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes, talk about how you found those fish, and do you think that's ever going to play out, I mean, as big as it was last November going forward somewhere?
I definitely don't think it'll ever play out as big as it did, because the weirdest thing about that tournament that I couldn't wrap my head around was that I was the only one on that pattern. Everywhere I went on the lake, I could find the fish. And I was just, everybody, like we talked about, everybody's had this technology for 3 to 5 years now.
Right.
And so it just makes you wonder, why did nobody else get onto that pattern? And now that we've opened that box and we've seen what could happen when you do that,
yeah.
I think multiple people will be on that in a tournament now, okay. Or they'll at least be looking for it. So it'll never be that sweeping of a margin, I would say. So people are going to definitely catch them. But technology in general, I think we're going to see a difference in electronic sponsors. I think there's going to be a lot of people running multiple units and multiple brands at the bow. Forward-facing sonar is going to be making a huge push, because you feel like you're getting left out almost if you don't have it. Which,
sure.
I mean, fishing professionally, you don't need it at a local level, or just if you're just fishing for fun. But fishing professionally, it helps us cut down the learning curve on new bodies of water.
Okay.
When we've never been there before. So it definitely helps, you know, bait awareness and all that. I think that's going to change. The technology as a whole, and just even Lake Fork, it'll definitely be different to see kind of what happens and how everything shakes down. But I don't know. That's why I'm excited to be going back at a different time of year, truly, because I don't want to have to chase those ghosts.
Right.
I want to go shallow and just go fishing.
Just hammer the bank. You know, I texted with your dad just a little bit while you were out there in Lake Fork and all, and then watching live and all. And they made a point that you can just see fish that other people don't see. So tell us a little bit, just take a minute. What were you seeing down there that kind of put you on to this suspended fish, on structure stuff?
Well, I call them blobs, but on the Garmin LiveScope, you know, it's shooting out 80 feet in front of the boat, and it shows the water column. It's a vertical picture.
Okay.
And you would literally, you'd be going into a cove or you'd be going around a point or something, and there'd be standing timber out there, and
okay.
You just kind of pan around, and it's shooting a 20-degree cone angle straight in front of the trolling motor.
Okay.
So it's like a beam straight in front of the trolling motor. Wherever the trolling motor's pointing is where it's looking. And so I'd go around a point, and I'd look over there, and I'd see some timber, and it'd be over 30 foot of water sometimes, and there'd just be five blobs, which there'd be five fish sitting on one tree. And I'm like, those have got to be bass. And so I would throw at them. They wouldn't move. I'd throw something different, and they wouldn't move. I'd throw a jerk bait in there, and they'd start getting – they'd definitely get interested.
Yeah.
And then you throw a different jerk bait, or, you know, one that had the right depth to it.
Okay.
And I'm telling you, when you triggered, it would be like hitting a hornet's nest. I mean, they would just start swimming around,
and
then you finally hook one, and it's like a 7-pounder, and you're like, oh my gosh, like this is something real. And then I started running around the lake, and you'd find pockets and areas that had just small groups of fish. It'd be, say, 2 to 5 fish schools. So
okay.
Not big,
okay.
Not large numbers. You know, it wasn't, I got to have a school of 100 fish.
Sure.
Just 2 to 5 fish, and they'd just be on isolated trees. And that's really what I was fishing, just running around fishing for those small packs of fish. Because if you can get fish to compete with one another, you're going to get that fish to bite. If it's a single fish, it's really kind of hard. If he's not in that mood to eat, I don't care what you do. You're not going to get that fish to bite. But if you can get them to compete and get them fired up, it's a guarantee.
Oh, man. Well, I hate I wasn't – that was one of those things I thought, oh, man, I could go down for that. I was like, that's just a long way to go. And then I didn't go, and then you won. And I hate I wasn't there. But, man, we were – there was a lot of people back here in South Carolina rooting. That was a fun tournament to watch. Fun tournament to watch.
I'm glad you were able to follow along. Yeah. I wish you could have been there.
Oh, yeah.
I would have had to take you out for a boat ride afterwards to make sure that one was a little smoother. I still got to owe you for that one.
I'm not ready for another boat ride quite yet. Well, look, okay, we ended up just like we wanted to. I got about a minute, minute and a half. Okay, we're kind of set into this 30s and 50s or 40s and 60s for foreseeable future here in South Carolina. Somebody wants to go out and catch some bass. What do they need to do and what do they need to throw?
Definitely look at the weather right now. It's going to be consistent, which is good. We don't have any crazy warming trends. So the fish are going to kind of maintain a stable pattern for the next 2 or 3 weeks. The crankbait bite should be really picking up right now. And shallow crankbaits from DT10s to DT6s to a square bill. Crawl colored is just what I love this time of year. And if you can throw an Alabama rig, like an umbrella rig, that sucker catches them. If you don't like throwing it, you don't have to, but A-Rig will catch some of the best fish. This is the best time of year to throw it, and I'd also say a suspending jerkbait. Why not? It worked at Fork, and I went out to Santee Cooper a couple days ago, and it worked out there. So I know that's still catching them, and if you like dragging a jig, but focusing on more main lake areas where you're out front of, say, the spawning areas, so where they're going to kind of start to transition back. Just find kind of some transition banks, main lake points, that kind of stuff. Get in, say, 10 to 6 foot of water.
Yeah.
And go to town.
Great
stuff.
Chase
the wind, by the way, too.
Great stuff. All right, folks, thanks for tuning in. You can catch up with the Elite Series all year long on Fox Sports. And as always, make time to get out there.
Take the back roads when you can.
Don't forget that camera. We'll see you back here next week. More Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Hit me from behind. I'm gone to